And send millions of dandavat pranam in the lotus feet of my Shiksha Guru, Om Vishnupad, Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Today is our fourth happy, fourth day. Everything is going on. Hari Katha Prasadam and everything. Someone tells that sannyas is bogus thing. No. Some tells like this. This is like a luster. But it is very offensive. Or Madhvacharya, Ramanu, Vishnu Swami, their disciples, hundreds and thousands of acharyas, they have taken sannyas. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas. And after that, Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, all are taking sannyas. Those who give up sannyas, they become lusty. So they think that this is also a kind of lust. They should not tell like this. If anyone is telling, protest them. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others, Madhvacharya, Ramanuja, all they took sannyas? This is disobedience of Guru Parampara and Guru. We should be very careful from them. We see Madhavendra Puri, Ishwar Puri also. Someone can tell that Nityananda Prabhu, he left sannyas. Oh, he was Ishwar of Ishwar. He was Avadhur. He was Rohini Nandan Balram. For him, no regular regulation. After this, no one is like him. Himself, go. They are told Bantasi if they do like so. So, we should be careful from them. They should not tell like this. Now, I request Shripad Kirtanananda Prabhu to speak two words.
Microphone, please.
Kirtanananda Prabhu is also sannyasi. He has gone to so miserable condition, but even sannyas is there.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Vishnu Vishnu Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Namaste Sarasati Devi Bhagavan Vichana Sushi Shri Vari Vasaka. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Vedanta Sri Vari Vedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's such a great pleasure to be in the assembly of great vice chancellor, who's pleasure to be in the presence of His Holiness Narayan Maharaj. I feel very inadequate to speak before this honored assembly. I am just a simple farm boy. But for Krishna, I don't know very much. But I know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. I know that He is the only doer. We have independence to desire. But unless He fulfills our desire remains unfulfilled. He is the only doer. All others are done. I also understand that the essence of spiritual life is simply to surrender to His doing. To become His willing instrument. To say, not my will, but thine be done. I think of the great saint whom Prahlad met and recognized as a very holy man, although he was just lying on the ground. He didn't display any outward symptoms of holiness, like special clothing or signs. But he was recognized as a very holy man and offered due respect. And then inquired from him. That sadhu could also recognize that Prahlad was a very advanced spiritual man, and therefore considered him a worthy person to speak to. Prahlad asked him, how have you become so advanced in Krishna consciousness? You appear to be quite fatty or well built, or although you possess nothing. You seem content, but you don't have any of this world's things of contentment. And the holy man said, sometimes I eat very tasty food, sometimes it is very stale and unpalatable. Sometimes I sleep in a palace, sometimes I sleep on the ground. I have learned to be content with whatever I have. That is also stated in the 52nd chapter of the 10th canto. Krishna says that a brahmana who is content with what he has is a truly elevated Brahman and can be satisfied although he has nothing. But a discontent man, though he possesses the throne of Indra, will remain discontent. And then he concludes, I bow my head. This is Krishna. I bow my head to a Brahmana who is content. Thank you, Krishna, for now as it is. How do I use it in the best way for your service? Not my sense gratification. Sense gratification is had even by the dogs and hogs and stew who eat stew. Sense gratification is enjoyed even in hell with hellish delights. I bow my head to a contented throne. I don't know anything else, but I'm very content to sit in this assembly of Vaishnavas. Hello!
Thank you for your these ideas. I appreciate you. In Shastra, there is so much glorification of Saranagati. So much. For Saranagati itself is not bhakti. It is the door of bhakti. Without this, we cannot reach to the bhakti. Really, the service by all our senses and modes required of karma, jnana and yoga and etc. Without any worldly what?
Desire.
This is bhakti. And it touches from last point, Shraddha, to Madanakya Bhava, Radhika. Those who will read Chaitanya Charitamrita, the books of our Goswami, Guru Sanatana, Raghunath Ji Goswami, Vishwanatha Bhatti Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, I think there must come greed to serve Krishna in one of the rasas. It must come. You are very fortunate to come in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You do not know, but one day you will know. So greed has no control. So greed, where our greed should go? Anarpit charing, chirat, karunaya, vatirna, karau, samarpai tum unnato jalarsang bhakti istriyam. This is the aim and object of our life. Jai Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this manjari bhav. Samarpai tum karunaya, out of mercy. He distributed this. Patra or no patra, no condition. He made pastor qualified and get this. And in this manjari bhav, like in the guidance of Rupa Goswami, Aradha Dasya. So we should try to read the books of Goswami and Bhagavat Chaitanya Charitamrita. You will see, they said, this is all right. Our grid should go there. Why not? So, Sadhanati is essential, but itself not bhakti though. If anyone has greed like this, to be the maid servant of Radhika, like in the guidance of Rupati Manjari, oh, this is our goal of life, essence of all the teaching life. Now we are discussing about Srimad Bhagavat Katha. We have discussed Dhruva, not Dhruva. Dhruva was a devotee. He did bhakti. He was chanting and meditating mantra of Vishnu, Narayana. He was disciple of Nar Goswami, but not pure bhakti. When he took darshan of Narayana, and then all his worldly desire went, but he still, at the time of death, by body he was going there, in Dhruva Lok. Why? Because he had still some affection for mother. Oh, where is my mother? Without mother I cannot go. She is my guru. That is why he was given to Dhruva Lok, a Vishnu Lok in this Brahmanda, Hari Lok. So this is not Shuddha Bhakti. It may be after the darshan of Krishna, he told that I was touching some piece of glass, but luckily I found out diamond. And he wanted to give up, but what become? He wanted in the beginning, and for this he had that did so much hard study. So Narayan told that you will have to be here and to taste the fruit of this bhakti, kingdom of whole. He was there. So we don't like bhakti like him. Prahlad Maharaj, he was Jnani Bhakta. Don't think Jnani means those who want to inhale their soul in Brahma. Not that. They are Jnani, Nirvishesh Jnani. Or Goswami or Guru Bhag has Khandan Kiya. Rejected them. So not that Jnani. Jnani Bhakta. He was pure bhakta, but with affluence he used to do bhakti. That my worshipable is everywhere. He has no appetite. He never tires to no masses, no eating, no drinking, nothing. What service anyone can do? Because he is like father, mother. So, being he bhakti pure, but we do namaskar, and then we proceed towards Ambarish Maharaj. He was pure bhakta, and he was doing bhakti by the, all the limbs of body.
I first of all offer all my Dandavat pranams unto The lotus feet of my beloved Gurudev, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parirashkacharya, Astau Tarasara Shishima Shiva Bhakti Vedanta, Narayan Goswami Maharaj, and all the assembled Vaishnava and Vaishnavi devotees of the Lord. So Srila Gurudev is now discussing the stage of Ambarish Maharaj's bhakti, and he's already mentioned the speciality of his bhakti over Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is a siddha, he's a perfected personality, and Ambarish is only a sadhak, but still his bhakti is superior because he has an essential ingredient called mamata. His affection is very personalized. He performed worship of the Lord with all the limbs of his body. As Srila Gurudev has said, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindaya Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunarna Vanaye Karo Hare Mandir Manajas Madhyajishu Shutin Chakra Chuda Sat Katodaya. That with his mind he was worshipping Krishna, with his words he was worshipping Krishna. He would listen to the glories of Krishna, and he performed his activities for Krishna in Vrindavan. He was the emperor of the entire planet. He was the emperor of the entire planet. And yet he saw it simply with as much value as you would see a stone. He was the emperor by birth, but yet he saw it completely as insignificant in relationship to his Ishtadev. Just as Pujapad Srila Kirtananda Maharaj was saying, how he was seeing Krishna everywhere. So he performed Yukta Vairagya. All of his wealth, all of his utility, he offered to Krishna. And this was his stage of bhakti. So this is superior to Prahlad. As Gurudev has just said, Prahlad was worshipping Bhagavan, the all-pervasive Bhagavan, in the sense of Bhagavan could have come as in any form. He came as Nrsimha and Prahlad worshipped, but he didn't offer him water or a fan, etc. There was no personal mamata there, but Ambarish, he possessed this. So in the speciality of bhakti, Srila Gurudev has said, these gradations of bhakti, there's nothing inferior about this gradation. In a material sense, Gurudev has said it's a speciality, a progression of speciality. So Ambarish Maharaj, in the performance of his seva, one time in Braj, he was performing Ekadasi Brat with his queen in Madhuban. And on the day when it was time to break his fast, practically, the great yogi, Durvasa Rishi, he came to Ambarish Maharaj's palace. And Indian etiquette states that if you're going to offer someone a guest, when a guest comes, then you must offer some food, etc. So Ambarish Maharaj, he offered Durvasa some prasad, but Durvasa said, you just wait, I have to chant my anik, and then I will return and take. But Durvasa, his meditation was on Nirvishesh Brahm, so his anik was a long time. So he was in the Jamuna. And the time for breaking the Karan was coming closer and closer. Ambarish Maharaj had to make a decision, which is more important, my honor to Bhakti Devi or my honor in etiquette to this great yogi? So he was in a great dilemma. He didn't want to make any transgression. So he consulted his brahmanas, and finally he himself decided, I will take 3 drops of Charanamrita, and this is breaking and not breaking simultaneously. So this way I am performing my bhakti, this was his consideration, and I'm also respecting my honorable guest, Durvasa Rishi. So Durvasa, in his mystic meditation, he understood what had taken place. And he came into the palace again, he saw Ambarish Maharaj, and immediately he understood what had happened, everything. And he became infuriated. And he grabbed one of his locks from his hair, and he smashed it onto the ground, and out of that lock, came a huge fiery demon with huge teeth and fire and a trident, and came stalking towards Ambarish Maharaj to annihilate him. And we see at this point the purity of Ambarish Maharaj's bhakti, how he just stood fearlessly in the sight of this enormous fiery demon coming to consume him. He knew that Krishna is the supreme controller entirely. Rake Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakeke, that Krishna can destroy me or save me, whatever is his will. So he was totally surrendered to this Rakshasi coming towards him. And at that time, Sudarsan Chakra immediately came to the aid of his dear devotee and burnt that Rakshasi to a cinder. And then the Sudarsan Chakra turned towards Durvasa. So what was the stage of Durvasa's bhakti? He saw this Sudarsan Chakra coming towards him and he ran. There was no question of fearless surrender in front of that Sudarsan Chakra. He ran all over the universe. First he ran in the oceans, he ran in the caves, he ran in the sky, he ran under the earth, he ran in the hellish planets, he ran in the higher planets, he ran everywhere. He ran for one whole year. He went to Lord Shivji. Lord Shivji said, I can't save you. Then he went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma also said, I can't save you. Then he finally came to Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan, he said, Sarvo Hridayam Mahayam Sadunam Hridayam Vaham, that the devotee is in my heart and I am in his heart. I am completely dependent on my devotee and my devotee is totally dependent on me. There's nothing whatsoever that I cannot protect you from this Sudarsan Chakra. You have to go back to Ambarish Maharaj and you have to beg forgiveness from him. Only he can stop this Sudarsan Chakra. I'm not independent of my devotee. So Durvasa, he went back to Ambarish Maharaj, who meanwhile just been waiting the entire year in order to feed his guest. Durvasa, he came back in a very humble state of mind and he offered very beautiful prayers to Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj was somewhat embarrassed by his prayers. He was a pure bhakta, a shuddha bhakta. And Ambarish Maharaj, in his turn, to stop the Sudarsan consuming Durvasa, he offered Sudarsan Chakra all of his piety that he had incurred through his tapasya, through his offerings to Krishna. He offered Krishna, anything that I have done that is worthwhile, you please accept this and so that this Sudarsan Chakra can be stopped. So we see his complete mood of forgiveness. This was the mood of Ambarish Maharaj. So we see him compared to Durvasa. But also we should consider that Durvasa is a manifestation of Shivji. So how could Shivji perform such an activity? And we understand that while Shivji himself was running throughout all the universes, what were all the residents of all those universes thinking? Or why is this great yogi running for his life behind the Sudarsan Chakra? What has happened? And then everyone would understand, oh, he has offended Ambarish Maharaj. So in other words, the whole universe was glorifying Ambarish Maharaj, in fact. So what Durvasa did, in fact, was a service, in a sense, to Ambarish Maharaj, in that he brought out and exemplified Ambarish Maharaj's bhakti. Otherwise, how would the world have ever known that, unless this activity had done? So in that sense, just like Shivji comes as Sankaracharya, he comes to perform a most, onerous task. He didn't really want to do this task. And nevertheless, as Durvasa, he also performed this task. But still, our consideration is bhakti. And as Srila Gurudev is leading us through these beautiful paths of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is illuminating all these different personalities. And what is the degree or intensity of their bhakti? What is their focus? Srila Gurudev is constantly pointing out what is our focus in bhakti, who is our Ishtadev. Just now Srila Gurudev said that Sharanagati is the threshold of bhakti. But this is just the beginning of our bhakti. Actually, where is the focus to come? Srila Gurudev has just said, Radha Dasyam. from Shraddha to Madanakya Mahabhav. So all these gradations through all these different personalities are illuminating clearly for our future, perhaps this birth, future births, etc. What is our focus? What is our goal? Where are we going? So from Sharanagati all the way up. So we see in this gradation from Prahlad Maharaj, he was a siddha, a perfected soul. Yet his mamata, or his intensity of affection for Krishna, is not as great as Ambarish Maharaj. So this is the point of this pastime. This is to show us what is Shuddha Bhakti. Ambarish Maharaj was in Dasya Bhav, but he had some Aishwarya there also. Not so much, not like Prahlad, there was something, but his mamata was very thick. Therefore he's considered Shuddha Bhakta. So in this progression we can see his exalted state, and we can learn from this how we can take this into our own lives and intensify our focus of what is pure bhakti, what is our path, what is our gradation. It's all step by step by step, gradual progression that Srila Gurudev is leading us through. These steps of Shuddha Bhakti, pure bhakti. Enjoy.
He had mamata, but not so advanced. But without man mamata, bhakti cannot be there. It was not clear. Though Ambarish Maharaj is not Siddha Bhakta, Prahlad Maharaj is Siddha Bhakta. But Prahlad Maharaj cannot serve with whole limbs of body. And Ambarish Maharaj, he can do. He used to be in Madhuban, in Vrindavan. He used to do parikrama of Braja, Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, Govardhan, Nandagaon, Barsana, all places. So he had some faith in this thing. So there is some basis in his bhakti, a speciality. But more than him, Prem Bhakta Hanuman is more superior. He is searching for his Prabhu and Siddha Bhakta also. More than that, Pandavas, Prempar, they can see, they can sleep with Krishna side by side. Sometimes Krishna becomes charioteer of and serving Arjuna and Pandava. And he tells Hanuman to serve Pandavas, Arjuna, to be on his the top of the chariot. And you should save Arjuna. Engaged also, he was engaged, and also he engaged Hanuman in the service of Pandavas. But more than Pandavas, Uddhav, among all Yadavanshi, Yadavas. And he prayed, went to Vrindavan and saw the affection and mamata and everything to Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maiya. And moreover, he saw Gopi, and moreover, he saw the mood of Srimati Radhika in the Pralambha. And then he was very much satisfied. Virahena me Mahabhaga, oh, You have done mercy to me by your bira. That Srimati Radhika did Bhramargi. Sometimes abetting Krishna, sometimes praising, sometimes laughing, like mad, Dibya Unmaa, and all these things. And then Uddhav began to pray, Asamaho Saranare Yudhusam Aham Syam Vrindavane Kilm Gold Milam Bhavapadina Yastrusta Jan Swajan Adhipatan Jahitva Veje Mukunda Padavin Sutadhi. Oh, I want to be the bread of cross in Vrindavan anywhere. Why? When Gopi will go to Abhisar to Krishna, their foot dust will be on my head. So still in Kusum Sarovar, that is Uddhav Kunja, is like a blade of a cross for me. And in the last he told, Bande Nanda Prajai Sri Nam, Padrenu Abhikna Sajasam Harikato Gita Unati Bhuvanatya. The gopis who taught this separation mode in so high way that if anyone hearing, whole world is satisfied. So one of the dust, so one of dust, fit dust, will be of Radhika, he wanted. So you should know the glorification of gopis and Radhika. So why not agree to be their maid servant? This is the main object, offer of life and bhajan. You know Chitraketu Maharaj, he was great devotee. In the form of Vrittasu, he had prayed in a gopi mood bhav, and that is why one of the symptoms of Bhagavat has been told in Padma Puran, where the life of Vrittasu has been written. So Shyamrani will tell the life of Vrittasu and Chitraketu Maharaj.
Om Jnananjanasya Jnananjanasalakaya Chakshura Militam Tasmai Sri Gurudev Namah. Shri Gurudev has ordered me to say a few words about the history of King Chitraketu. First, I'd like to say that Sri Guru is independent. One cannot control him. I studied for 1 hour about Maharaj Ambarish today. And I pray to you, please call me for that, and don't call me for King Chitraketu, because I don't have to do that. So King Chitraketu was a great king of the world. And one of the duties of the king is to have a son who can continue the dynasty and perform activities for the benefit of the entire world. By the will of Providence, King Chitraketu's first wife, Krita Duti, could not bear any children. So although he loved her, he took his second wife, and she also could not bear any children. So he took wife after wife after wife, and finally he had thousands and thousands of wives, and by the will of Providence they were all barren. So by chance, Angira Muni, who is a great friend, associate of Sri Narad Muni, he went to the house of the king, and the king put him on his throne and glorified him. And he expressed his great sadness that I have so many thousands of wives, but no son. Please give me some kind of benediction, some blessing that I can have a son. So Angira Rishi knew that that would not make the king happy. Amarish Maharaj, because he was engaged in the service of the Lord with all of his senses and mind, not only he, but all of his citizens considered even heavenly planets and all mystic powers to be as insignificant as small pieces of dirty stone. Maharaj Amarish had no attraction for his wife, children, relatives, friends, chariots, elephants, treasury, garments, or anything. But unlike him, Chitraketu Maharaj was very, very anxious to have a son. So because of his particular lack of sukritis and sanskars at that time, Angira Rishi could not teach him. He knew I can't teach him renunciation at this time. So great sages have great plans in order to bring their disciples to the platform of renunciation. For example, the guru of Harishchandra, he himself, by his mystic power, made a snake bite his son and kill him to create this detachment, and then he himself brought his son back to life. So Angira Rishi had a plan for King Chitraketu. He said, I'm going to give this sweet rice to you to give to your principal and first wife, Kritaduti. So the king was so happy, even though Maharaj Angira Rishi said, this son will be the cause of great happiness to you and also great lamentation. So the king thought, no problem. He'll be a little naughty, so I'll get a little upset. No problem. So he gave this special sacrifice to his first wife, and he begot a very beautiful son. As is the nature of co-wives, his many thousands of co-wives became envious, because now King Chitraketu was showing even more favor to his first wife, because she was the mother of his son, who he had now given his life to. Srila Gurudev said, in relation to, forget who, somebody had co-wives and they didn't mind, Kunti or Maharaj Dasarath, but Gurudev said, even if your husband has other wives, don't mind, be happy for him. But these other co-wives, he said, it's no harm to you if your husband has other wives. He wants his all disciples to be so open, so liberal, so generous, just like the tree, he said, that gives its fruits, bark, and everything, and doesn't ask even for water when it's thirsty. So King Chitraketu's wives were just the opposite. They became so envious, and they made a conspiracy. They had a meeting amongst themselves, and they decided, this is very, very bad that he's showing so much favor to this other wife and totally neglecting us, just like we're some maidservants. So they decided, what shall we do to take revenge? We'll poison that son, thinking somehow or other that would bring them happiness. So they gave poison to the son, and the son died. And when the king came to the crib of the son and saw his dead son, and heard about his dead son, because there were screams in the court, he was running to his son and fainting and getting up and weeping and running and fainting. And his hair became scattered, his clothes became scattered, and the same with his wife. And the whole kingdom became in lamentation, and the wives were also pretending to be in lamentation. At that time, Angira Muni returned to the king, and Narada Muni came with him. And now the king, because of all the misery that happened to him, by the mercy of the sages, by the mercy of the Lord, now the king was getting ready to hear properly. So by the will of Angira Rishi and Narad Rishi, the son came to life. And they asked the son, "Do you want to go back to your father?" So the son replied, "Who is my father? He is not my father. By some past fruitive activities, he became my father for some time, and now I'll have another father, and he'll become the son of another father. Sometimes one's enemy of one's past life becomes one's son, so that son can give grief. Our Srila Prabhupada told one history that in a village in India, one rich man who lived in a big house, a beggar came to that rich man's house, and the rich man beat him. And everyone was wondering, why did this innocent beggar get beaten? So there was an astrologer in the village, and he said it was because the beggar was previously the father of the rich man, and he used to be his son. So now he got beaten back. So sometimes an enemy will become a son just to give his father misery. So because of the teachings of the little son, King Chitraketu became renounced and was now ready to follow Narada and Angira Rishi. And he received a wonderful mantra from them, and by that mantra, he was able to realize his relationship with Lord Vishnu. He entered the Vaikuntha planet and saw face to face Lord Sankarshan, an expansion of Lord Balaram. This same Chitraketu was also became a great friend of Lord Shiva. And Chitraketu also now had great powers, being a pure devotee of the Lord. So he rode around one day in his airplane, and he came to the spot in Kailash where Lord Shiva was giving a lecture in front of many, many great sages, thousands of great sages. And Lord Shiva was sitting naked in that assembly, giving his class. And Parvati was sitting on his lap, and she was also naked. So King Chitraketu, being a very close friend of Lord Shiva, said, "Oh, isn't this a strange way to give a lecture?" So he wasn't really criticizing, and anyway, friends can joke with each other, but he was just saying this is a very unusual way to give a lecture. So Lord Shiva smiled because he knew it was just the friendly joking of his friend, and being free from lust, and his wife also being free from lust, there was no contamination, and whatever he would say would be purifying to all the sages. But his wife Parvati, she became very angry. "How dare you criticize such a great devotee as Lord Shiva?" So she cursed him that you're acting just like a demon because you're doing Vaishnava parad. That's very demoniac. So you should become a demon. I curse you to become a demon. And Chitraketu very humbly accepted that curse. So Lord Shiva told his wife that this is the sign of a pure Vaishnava. He's so powerful, being an associate of Lord Narayan, that he could have cursed you back, but he didn't. He humbly accepted your curse. Of course, we should understand that Parvati also couldn't make any mistake, because she is the powerful material energy, and she is also a pure devotee. Both Shivji and Parvati are our gurus. But in order to teach us to be very careful in understanding who is a Vaishnava and what is Vaishnava behavior, and also to show the glory of King Chitraketu, she cursed him. So in his next birth, he became a demon. He was in the body of a demon. Excuse me, I made a mistake. He didn't become a demon. He had the body of a demon. He manifested from a fire, from a great fire sacrifice. In this fire sacrifice, He who was performing the fire sacrifice made a mistake in his mantra. He was supposed to say, Shrestha Rishi was supposed to say that out of this fire sacrifice will become a great demon who will kill Indra. But he made some mistake in the mantra that came out, we will create a great demon who will be killed by Indra. So this great demon with red hair and big teeth and a trident came out. Very, very tall. How tall? So tall that anybody could fit under his feet. So he challenged Indra, and he had a great fight with Indra, and he was smashing thousands of demigods under his feet. And Indra kept trying to kill him, but he couldn't kill him. So now this devotee in the form of the demon, that is Vritrasura, he wanted to be killed by Indra so that he could be free from his demoniac body. So he offered very beautiful prayers to the Lord. And this is what Srila Gurudev introduced in the beginning. That actually, even though he's in the body of a demon, which shows that only a pure devotee can recognize another pure devotee, or by the mercy of a pure devotee can we recognize a pure devotee. So in the mood of Braj Bhakti and Gopi Bhav, his prayer was like this to the Lord, that the birds, the way the birds relate with their mother is that when the mother comes to the nest, the mother brings the worms to the birds. So it seems like the birds have been waiting in great love for their mother, but they really haven't. They're waiting for the worms. They really don't want their mother, they want what their mother has to give them to satisfy their senses. So he said, this kind of love, this is not really priti. And Jiva Goswami has explained in his Priti Sandarbha, what is priti or what is pure love? So he said, this kind of love I don't want. Then higher than that is the calf. The calf is waiting for his cow, his mother, all day to come back to him in the evening. So when the mother comes, the calf drinks the milk from the mother. So it's not something outside the mother that the calf wants. The milk is inside the mother, but it's still not the mother proper. It's still something from the mother that the calf wants. So Vritrasura said, and he's saying this on the battlefield, so showing that there's no condition in offering devotion and love to the Lord if one has that purity. And if one is Anyavi Lasita Sinya, he has no material desires, he doesn't allow karma or jnana to cover his devotion. Then under any circumstance, what is that? Taila Aravata Avachinvagati, just like a stream of honey that flows down uninterrupted, the devotee can serve Krishna in any condition without any impediments. And that kind of devotion, as Srila Gurudev said on the first night, is the only kind of devotion that fully satisfies the soul. So he said, I don't want that kind of love. What kind of love do I want? A wife or a beloved who sees that her husband, a beloved wife, who sees that her husband has come home late. He's not home yet, but he's late and the time is passing and she's already made dinner and it's passing more and more and more. And she's worried about him. Real Vedic wife is that she doesn't care for her own happiness, she's only concerned for her husband's happiness. So she's in so much anxiety, pacing back and forth, asking the children, you know what happened to your father? What happened to him? And they, of course, can't answer. So in great, great anxiety, she's thinking, well, he was taking the train home, maybe the train got derailed, and she's thinking the worst. This anxiety is due to love. So actually, there was nothing wrong with him. He's just delayed for some non-dangerous reason. But out of overwhelming love, she's in overwhelming anxiety. So Srila Gurudev is explaining that this is the supreme Uttama Bhakti of the gopis. That when Narada Muni came to them saying, Krishna has a headache, and we need the dust of some devotee's feet to cure him, all the other devotees said, no, Krishna's guide will go to hell. But the gopi said, here, take some dust. Let's get some more dust. Let's get some piles of dust. And thousands of gopis were getting thousands of piles of dust. And Narada said, aren't you worried that you'll go to hell? And the gopi said, never mind, we shall go to hell. But let Krishna be cured. So a loving wife doesn't care for her own happiness or comfort, only her husband. And so Srila Gurudev is explaining, and Srila Jiva Goswami, that Ritrasura, although in the body of the demon, he had love of the gopis in his heart. He had that kind of love that he wanted. And so his love is extremely high, and we want to follow him before we can become a gopi. Gurudev said, if you want to become a gopi, first you have to be Prahlad, first you have to be Ambarish Maharaj, first you have to be Hanuman, not to jump past them.
In his prayer, in the last he has told, Mamuttama Slok Janesu Satyam Sansara Chakre Dhamatas Swakarmavi San Maya Atman Zaragehesu Asapta Sitasya Nanak Bhuya. First he prayed that, Priya Priyeva Vishutam Vishanga. Like Gopi, always glorifying, so much mamata, and Vipralambha Bhav for his Priyatam yesterday. Like Gopi. And in the last prayer he is telling, Mamottama Slok Ut Janesu Sakhyam. I don't fear that I will go to hell or here and there. I pray you that give me your most high class of Rashi and Tattvagya Bhakta Sangha. This is essential. So here, Krishna Katha from their mouth. And so, this thing I want, that high class of Rasik Tattvagya Vaishnava Sangha you should give me. And Tanmaya Atmaja Dargehesu. By your Maya, those who are so much lusty in their family, attached to their family, don't give their association. I keep me very far away from those who are attached in family life. We should have no attachment. Mamata and attachment should be to Guru or Krishna. If you give it to offer it to Gurudev, your mamata, he will take it and give it in the lot of feet of his Ishtadev Radha Krishna Mahaprabhu. He knows all these things. If he will take that I am bhokta, all are praising me, all are giving me so many things, then you will go to hell. So don't do this. So I should not be, you should not give me an association of that class of persons who are very deadly attached to their family life. We should be in family life, be married. Don't be attached. No samamata. You should go on doing your kartavya.
Duty.
But mamata should be to in the feet of Krishna. Now we are entering in Dasam Skandha. Maharaj Sukadev Goswami told to Parikshit, Parikshit, you can take some rest day and night you are hearing. Oh, dawn break. I don't want to take rest from all these things. Hari Kathapyo, especially Nibitta Tarsai Rupagiyamana. Bhautadatso Srimano Virama ka uttam slok gunanubadat virakche ina pasubna. A devotee like you, totally detached from worldly life, Nibitta Tarsai. He has no worldly desire. Only to serve Krishna, this is his life. Bhokshadhar, if he is telling Krishna Katha, this is a Ram Bhan. Infallible medicine of this Bhavaro. What is Bhavaro? Coming and going from endless time up to endless time. So, it will be stopped. Ka uttam slok gunanubad. Those who will be atmaghati, atmaghat self-killer, they will not listen to this Harikatha and follow. Otherwise all will hear this katha very careful and meditate all these katha after katha. Doing pranam to all audience, those who are doing management, to them, to Hari Katha, and those who is speaking Hari Katha, to all, then Ajit Krishna can be controlled. Satang prasangam mama vidya sambhijau, bhavan charita karna rasayana katha, tajjo sanat asu apamad vatmani sabdha rati bhakti. If a speaker of Krishna Katha is a Rasik Tattvakya and he is speaking, then Satan Prasangamam Viryavati, of very powerful and free, which is very interesting and pleasing to ears and also to heart if meaning he is knowing. And then hearing by this, Saddha, first Saddha, then Bhavabhakti and Srimabhakti. Now, again started Harikatha, whole day, night, 7 days, no sleeping, nothing. So, you should hear this Katha like your soul. This is the medicine of Bhavaro. You know that Krishna took birth in the jail of Kamsa. And then he was taken to Nanda Bhavan, Gokul. And they also saw Yashoda, that Krishna has come from my womb. Really, Krishna can come, he is Supreme Lord, very powerful. At a time he can come, 100 places. So at a time, first he came to Kanuskaragar from the womb of Devaki, but partly he came. Partly, not for Vajendranandan life, Gopika. There were some reasons for this. Why Sukadeva Goswami told this? Because he was a Rasajna. He thought that if I will tell vividly that Krishna has taken fully birthing Gokul from the womb of Yashoda, then all the girls of Nanda Bhavan and Nanda Gram, how Krishna tells them most beloved. Then it will be seen. Understand what I told? You understood? What? Again, tell them.
They're like cousin sisters of Krishna. If Krishna started here appearing in Gokul, then all the gopis are like cousin sisters of Krishna.
Yes, they will become. With them, no dance, no rush, rush, nothing. But really, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna came by the womb of Mother Yashoda. Sukadeva Goswami wrote this that he took birth in Mathura jail because he was in that dynasty, so to please them. But really, automatically, what was real came from his mouth, so many places, Nanda Nandan, Yashoda Nandan. Oh, what is that slow? Nandastu Atmaj Utpanne. Nandastu. In Kanskaragar, in Mathura, and also in Mathura, there was no Nadi Sanskar. Cutting there. Nothing. And in Gokul, oh, it was. So all believed it is that he is the son of Mother Yashoda. You know also, Krishna gradually became elder, visible day. And he used to steal butter, milk and so many things from Navarat Gopi's houses. Why? Because they prayed like this. They used to become very happy that Krishna has come in my house and he is taken. They like it. They thought that Krishna does not do any this childhood notorious activity in his mother house. He is doing so. They used to come and to complain. Yashoda was thinking. Oh, I will see why my child goes to other gopi's house, Navarat house, and is still butter. So today I will give up holiday for all servants. And I will milk best cows, Padma Gandha and others. And I will make it curd. And then myself I will. And then I will give so sweet makkhan. Then he will not go. And that is why one day he gave holiday on Kartik Pratipada. Kartik Pratipada. And she was churning. And what do we?
Govinda Dhamma Dharma Hareti. Govinda Dhamma Dharma Hareti. Govinda Dhamma Dharma Hareti. Govinda Dhamma Dharma Hareti.
All gopis in very morning they used to wake up and meditating the boyhood of pastime of Krishna, all doing
Govinda Dhamma Dharma Hareti. Govinda Dhamma Dharma Hareti.
Meditating one, sun is is not sleeping, they did not told that you should sleep.
Govinda Dhamma Jaya Bharate Ki, Govinda Dhamma Jaya Bharate Ki.
They are doing house work, Lipana Potana, cleaning their house. And what doing? By hand they are doing, but by mind and by tongue they used to tell,
Govinda Dhamma Jaya Bharate Ki.
You can do easily, always, in the morning gift, and you can chant,
Govinda Dhamma Jaya Bharate Ki, Govinda Dhamma Jaya Bharate Ki.
Hare Krishna. Now Sripad Krishnadas will do kirtan, but prior to that, Srila Gurudev will announce your new spiritual name, whoever taken initiation yesterday and today. And in Gurudev's apartment, I live in living room, my bed was there. Yesterday, during passing beads, by forget, my bead has gone to any devotee, so holding by accident. So, when you announce your name, can you stand up and show your bead, please? Then I can understand.